Today's reading is from Philippians 3, 7 through 11. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate that. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody here today. How can I have faith like Abraham? Part 2. Faith must keep moving forward. In Isaiah chapter 48, verses 28 through 31. Do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. That is, means that it's hard to define. It's beyond human reasoning or understanding. Verse 29, he gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. This very passage indicates to us not only that the Lord does not change, he does not get weary, but those who wait on him, that is, those that trust in him, see an increase in their faith as time goes on. Though we don't always give an answer to our prayers right away, though we don't know when Jesus himself will return to take us to heaven, those who have faith are watchful, ever watchful, and they wait with an intense faith, waiting also patiently. We are not soon shaken by trouble, nor with adversity. It is as though we have an insight to the faith that Abraham has, or faith like Abraham. Jesus, in the parable of the sower, teaches in Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9. And he spoke many things to them in a parable, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns. The thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Those who hear the word, and the key word in this sentence I'm going to make now is this one. Those who hear the word and allow it to be implanted into their heart grow spiritually. They believe and they follow because of faith. They are not distracted by the cares of the world, nor soon discouraged to depart from the truth. They grow and grow in faith and in the Lord. Last week we asked the question to begin this series, I have faith like Abraham. We read in Hebrews of the magnitude of Abraham's faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived
as an alien in the land of promise,
as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. We also read about Abraham's faith when he went and offered Isaac, or was about to offer Isaac, in chapter 22 of Genesis. This week we want to explore the idea that if I keep moving forward with my faith, I will grow stronger in the Lord, and then perhaps I am just one step closer to having the faith that Abraham had. One of the most important, if not the most important, elements of athletics is training. Training from this standpoint, or at least what we're going to talk about, is the conditioning of one's body so that the mind can use it, that is the body, to overcome any adversity that may hinder our ability to be successful in any given sport. We have a lot of people that are athletic-minded in this audience today, so you'll know what I'm talking about, and I think all of us will know what I'm talking about. Nearly every sport, if not all sports, require the body to be physically fit in order to participate or compete at the highest possible level. For football, basketball, baseball, tennis, track and field, and one we don't think about but really helps us if we train our bodies is golf. Running and strength training are extremely beneficial. You see basketball teams, and I've seen this, you probably have if you watch much basketball, you've seen basketball teams all the time that perhaps have a lot more talent than their opponent, who get tired at the end of the game, and because they're tired, haven't physically trained, they lose. They are often overwhelmed by an opponent who has properly trained physically. When they get tired, the body controls their mind instead of the other way around. And you see when there's a stoppage of play that they'll take their hands and they'll bend over and place those hands on their knees to catch a breath. You see that a lot in basketball when they're on the free throw line. And you know, as a coach and you're watching that, it kind of gives you an advantage. You play into their being tired. We make our mistakes when we're tired and our body has checked out. That's true in athletics, and that's also true in our spiritual life. Athletes who have properly trained control their bodies with their mind and look at this screen. That person there, I know personally, and I think you do too, and I've watched this person play, and I know from watching her play, not only does she have a tremendous desire to play, but you can tell that her body, her mind was in control of her body because her body was ready to play. And it was fun to watch. I know this person's sibling had not been for circumstances, we would have had not athlete of the week, but we would have had athletes of the week. And both pictures would be up there. But the other sibling took maybe even a far greater role in being a support system. It was fantastic to watch. Regular, physically trained, well-trained athletes, they don't get tired. They don't get tired. They are ready to go. They are ready for the contest. Their mind controls their body. And that is, again, I've seen it over and over again, a well-trained athlete, physically trained athlete, who has their body in subjection to their mind will outperform somebody that has more athletic ability. They are tested, time and time again, they find success. Spiritually speaking, we exercise, that is, we train our mind in His holy word so that we may endure spiritual warfare, and we're engaged in spiritual warfare. Our country is causing us to be more aware of that on a daily basis. In other words, we've listened to our coach. We thought our coach knew what he was talking about. And Isaiah describes our coach as one who never gets tired. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, James says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Yeah, a lot of times I'll go out for our track out here at the high school. This is not in my notes, by the way. A lot of times I'll go out on the track, and sometimes I go early. In the summer, I try to go early so it's not so hot. And you'll see some of the hurdlers out there training. And they're working hard. They'll run first, and they'll run some sprints, and they'll do all these various things, and they'll do these to get themselves built up with endurance. And then they put obstacles in front of them. I never quite understood that they'll take and put these tall, like fences in front of them, and they'll stagger them. And now these hurdlers have to not only run, but they have to get over the top of those hurdles and go to the next one, get over the top of then, go to the next one, get over the top of that. But we know that you can't be successful in a sport like that unless you have faith, unless you have endurance. And that's the same thing with our faith. We're going to go over some hurdles. We're going to go over some obstacles. And all of those things will build up our endurance. And that's the way we need to look at it. So many people, when they have obstacles in front of them, they just quit. Athletes today, like this athlete we seen earlier, athletes today, a lot of them I know, when they have an obstacle or it gets too hard, they just quit. Well, you know what? Our spiritual life is like that. We're going to get lots of obstacles in front of us. We may as well understand that right off. We can't quit. The very idea that Christians will encounter various trials should cause us to prepare for them every day spiritually. After it's all said and done, the Christian wants to endure the trial without getting spiritually winded. This requires training and exercising of our minds and putting our bodies in subjection to our minds. It requires moving forward in faith. Many will say, and they will talk about, well, the Bible talks about training the body, and it profits us little. And that's very true. But from the analogy that we're looking at, training our body to be in subjection to our mind is extremely important. Because if we don't do that, that's where we falter. Spiritual atrophy is one of our greatest eternal enemies. I remember Brother Wayne giving a lesson on spiritual atrophy. I'm going a little different than what he did, but I thought it was an extremely important lesson and excellent. And the more I think about that, the more I relate it to physical training and spiritual training, I see it. One cannot be prepared for trials if our mind isn't built up. I believe that Abraham constantly meditated. Going back and talking about how can I have faith like Abraham, I believe Abraham constantly meditated and thought about God and what he said to him. That's training the mind. His training faith dictated his action in obedience when he offered up Isaac. His faith moved forward. However, you cannot move forward if you're always looking back. The runner who doesn't focus on the finish line, but constantly looks back at the opponents, will allow them to gain ground on him, and they will lose their lead. Jesus says, Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Jesus said to them, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." The Proverbs writer, Solomon, wrote in chapter 4, verse 25, "Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you." Paul says, don't look back. Forget what's behind and move forward, look at Philippians chapter 3. And this is one we read a lot, we think about a lot, but we don't think sometimes about what he says towards the end of this passage. He says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If you don't think looking back is harmful, take another look at Lot's wife. Now, that happened physically, metaphorically speaking, spiritually, that can happen to us as well. God allowed the children of Israel to be captured by the Babylonians, to purge those of them that looked back at the life they knew in idolatry. He purged them from remnant that looked forward in faith. Jeremiah records in chapter 29 in verses 11 through 14. He says, for I know the plans that I have for you. This is God. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. None of that happens if they constantly look back. They have to look forward. And he says, if you will look forward, then I will hear you. So often it is spiritual atrophy that prevents us from moving forward and preparing us for the adversity that lies before us. Trials and temptations that we encounter may beset us if we're not prepared. And just like the body that fails because it has not been properly trained or has not used properly, so with the spiritual mind that does not train and gain endurance. Without proper training, we just can't move forward. Our faith becomes weak, and is weak, and we fail the test. Paul says, this is also a, all these are scriptures that we're real familiar with, but they fit really well into this lesson, I believe. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3, and I, brother, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, talking to the Corinthian brethren, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? He says to them, you simply have not matured. You have not prepared yourself. You have not trained. In athletics, we know, these girls can tell you, that if somebody works harder than you, and they train harder than you, they're going to take your spot. And you're going to be sitting on the bench watching them. That's what he's telling the brethren at Corinth. In our Christian walk, some are so far out of shape that they have to start all over again from the basics. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For by this time, you ought to be teachers. You have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. You cannot maintain your faith if you are not willing to move forward.
The athlete cannot compete unless they are willing to put in the time to train.
Another passage of scripture we're familiar with, Paul talks to the brethren again in Corinth, that he says to them, he prefaces this by this way, he says, I have done all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I myself can be a partaker in it like you are. He does that by putting his body under subjection, that is, controlling the physical and exercising his faith. Look at 1 Corinthians, and we've read this. I've seen this read in so many venues, but it really, again, fits well into this lesson. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Today, we want to give everybody a trophy. You participate, here's your trophy. That's the mentality we have today. That's not the way a race is done. I've never been involved in some competition where everybody, if you lost, you got a trophy.
Well, unless it was second place, I guess that's not true.
But in anything that's athletic, there's only going to be one winner. One true winner. That's what he's saying. Not everybody gets a trophy. Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Faith must move forward, but it must do so with a purpose and with a destination in mind. Paul says to run the race with the intent of winning. Runners, and look at that young man's face. Runners who run a 100-yard dash, run with such vigor and such determination so that they can win the race. And you can see it on the expression that they have on their face when they're running. They take strides, strong, powerful strides, to run to the finish line and to win. Move forward with a purpose. In my years of playing basketball, and I played lots of basketball. In my years of coaching basketball, and I coached lots of basketball. I've seen players, which I never really have this, but I've seen players have just fantastic dribbling the basketball ability. They can dribble a basketball. They can go between their legs, behind their back, all these different things. And that's certainly fantastic. It shows some skill. But I've seen them dribble and dribble and dribble and dribble and never go anywhere. You'll have some of these athletes who can dribble the basketball really well. They'll dribble from the top of the key. They may even start at the half-court line. They'll dribble from the top of the key. They'll dribble all the way between defenders and under the basket and come back out on the other side. Now, what's happening when all that's going on? Well, in my experience, if I play with somebody like that, I get to just stand in there watching them. And sometimes you might find that somebody that's guarding me, defending me, they go and they try to defend and get the ball away from the guy that's doing all the dribbling. And next thing you know, I'm standing in the basket. I'm wide open. So we miss opportunities when we do that to reach the goal. We stand and watch someone else. I say, and always talk, dribble the purpose. Move forward. They say a lot of times, go downhill. Get to the basket. In our faith walk, we must move with a purpose. Paul says to run the race to win. Set your mind over your body so that you will have self-control. Don't let the body control Don't let the desires of the flesh rule and disqualify you. Paul says, I don't run without aim. And if necessary, I box and defeat the enemy. And that might be my body, so that I will not be disqualified. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, this always stands out to me in just about every day of my walk. Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. If we are to be like Paul, our faith must move forward. So what do we gain from this lesson? I hope we can learn some things. Number one, we serve God who does not change, who does not get tired, and can supply all our spiritual needs. Number two, we must train our mind. We must train our mind so that our body isn't in control. Number three, if we maintain our faith, it will get stronger and stronger. Therefore, we keep moving forward and we don't look back. Number four, we say that it is possible. That it is entirely possible. To have faith like Abraham. The next time we will explore in this series, fighting the good fight. I appreciate your participation. I hope those things made sense to you. I hope they have some value and you can use them somehow. We're going to extend Christ's invitation for anyone who has not been baptized, has the opportunity to do that. If you are a Christian and you have, and your mind fallen short, you need prayers of the faithful to be restored in your faith, we can do that as well. Or if you just need encouragement one way or another, please let us know. We're here to help you. We love you and we want it. While we do this,